Amen. Thank you, Sister Anna. Well, in the pastor's absence, he's asked Brother Daniel Correa to preach to us tonight. So, brother, if you'll make your way up here, I'll gather my stuff up out of your way and let you preach to us, my brother. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good evening, everyone. It's a blessing to be here. Can you all see me? Amen. That's one of the blessings of being short, right? Good things come in short, small containers, right? So that's poison, right? But don't worry, I won't be preaching in Spanish, all right? So you don't have to worry about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to thank Pastor Parson for the opportunity that he has given me tonight to be able to be behind this pulpit. The honor is a privilege to be here and be able to share God's word. Pastor Carter, thank you so much for all you've done in my life. It's a privilege also to be behind this pulpit. And again, I don't take this for granted. It is a blessing. It is an honor. It is a privilege. And I just want to praise God for that. It is a blessing to be part of this church. More than a church, this is a family. Amen? It's just hard to find a church where you can just, you know, feel like you are at home, and this is home to me and my family. So thank you all for that. And I want to also say hi to this side of the church. I normally sit on this side, and so hello, everyone. I'm over here, but amen. I just want to share with you what God had laid on my heart. I was praying about it, and I was just seeking God's direction. I was praying, and God put this in my heart. And if you can open your Bibles right there in the book of Luke in chapter number 5. And the title of the message for this evening is going to be, Take It to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. You know, we live in a society with people has all kind of issues, all kind of problems. And there is an answer accordingly to the world, to every situation. Now you go to a doctor, you go to the psychologist, you go to a psychiatrist, and I don't have nothing against them. It's just, you know, it's just good as far as they go. And we live in a society where you can speak or you can talk about everything, but when you talk about Jesus or when you name the name of Jesus, there is a problem. Amen. Living in denial of the truth, feeling under conviction about their sin. But again, the Bible is telling us, and what we're going to be reading in here is a very interesting passage, and God really spoke to my heart to share with you this evening. And we're going to see here two groups of people. People where knew God's word, not God, but scribes and the Pharisees. And also we'll see a group of men that they were moved with compassion and by faith to do something. So right there in the book of Luke in chapter number 17, we're going to be looking at the book of Luke chapter 5, verse number 17, all the way down to verse number 25. The Bible says, And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching Jesus, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18, And behold, a man brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in, and because of the multitude, the Bible said in here that they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his coach into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy coach, and go into thine house. Verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings. And God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you're giving us to be here. And God, we all have many things in our lives. There's so many things in our hearts and our minds right now. What are we going to do later? What are we going to do this tomorrow? What are we going to be doing this week? Worries and burdens and things. But God, I pray that during this time that you will open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear, to receive your word. And Lord, speak to us. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here that we see the Pharisees in here. They were just Pharisees and scribes sitting in there in their hand, waiting and listening, but not really listening to Jesus. Pretty much you're just watching him and what could they later on use to accuse him. Sitting on their hand, just waiting for the moment. And then we see another group of people in here, which are the men that they were moved by faith, and they saw a need, and they took the lead. We see that, number one, I see here the show of a faith, in verse number 18 and verse number 19. We see that this man, as the Bible says in verse number 18, and behold, man brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And the Bible says in here that they saw means to bring him in. In other words, they were doing whatever it took to make it happen. You see, they saw that the multitude was there in front of the house. There was no way for them to get into the house. Maybe they said, well, the front door is no way, it's too many people. What about the back door? Well, maybe they don't have a back door. What about the back window? Well, I don't know. It's too many people. The house is just full of people. There is no way to go in. But that didn't stop them. You see, this group of men, they were determined. They were convinced that the power of the Lord was there. They all would agree in doing something for someone that they probably never saw before. They were all agree and do something for this man who couldn't do anything for himself, but yet they were moved by faith, knowing that we gotta do something. If we just put him, or if we just take him to Jesus, he will take it from there. You see, probably they were just overwhelmed by the multitude, intimidated by the multitude, wondering, discouraged, but that didn't stop them. There's too many people in here. How are we going to get them in there? Nobody's making a way. But yet, their faith moved them so God will make a way. So you see, when we see the circumstances in our lives, we just see problems, we just see the trials, we just see the tribulations. But if we just take it to Jesus, he will make a way when there is no way. And the Bible says in here that their faith produced determination and conviction, and that it wasn't going to change, and they were just determined that the only way for this man to be healed was just take him to Jesus. They didn't think about anything else, but just take it, take him to Jesus. What is it going to take for you and I to stop doing the work of God? People? You know what people are going to talk about you and me, Christians in general, no matter what we do. Either we serve God or we don't serve God. If we serve God, we are religious fanatic. We are crazy people. We are just wasting our time, wasting our talents, wasting our treasures, wasting our families, wasting everything. Right. If we stop serving God, they will, I knew he was going to stop. Right. There's no way. There's no way that we can please people. And we are not here to please people anyway. We're here to please God. And you see that these men in here, although they saw the people, they saw the multitude, they saw the circumstances, they were not in their favor. But that didn't stop them. When things get problematic in our lives, our first option is just to run away or to stop or to quit. But that wasn't an option for this man. You see, they could have said, you know what, I don't even know this guy anyway. Why are we taking them? I mean, just, you know, we're wasting time in here. It's, Jesus is right there in the house. We should be in there with everybody else. Let's just leave him in here and, you know, somebody else will take care of him. Sometimes that is our attitude in Christian life. When God is speaking to your heart, when God is challenging us to do something, when we are under conviction about doing something for the Lord, and we say, ah, you know what? It's not the time. Oh, you know what? I'm so busy right now. I don't have time for anything. So when is the right time then? If it's not now, it's not tomorrow, it's not next week, when is it? Excuses. There is no reason to not serve God. But we see here that these men were just determined. These men were just, they had their mind made up about doing something about this man, and they saw means to bring him in, to lay him before Jesus. That was the plan. Let's just take him to Jesus. And then what? Well, I don't know. You know what? Sometimes we get so caught up in trying to figure everything out, and we have to have everything in place, and the plan has to go in such a way. If it doesn't go in such a way, we just panic and we throw everything overboard and we just quit and this is not working. It's not my plan, it's God's plan. It's not your plan, it's God's plan. These guys in here were just, you know, we just got to take him to Jesus. And probably they were wondering, and they wasn't there. The thought was, we just got to take him to Jesus, and God will take it from there. Once we take him to Jesus, what Jesus is going to do? Well, I guess he's going to heal him. But whatever it is, let's just take him. I go out soul winning on Saturdays, and we just go out knocking doors, and we don't know what's going to happen on the other side of the door, but we just go and give him the gospel. Amen. It's not up to me to decide what door am I going to be knocking on or what door I'm going to skip. I just got to go and tell him. Amen. Not long ago, I think it was last year, Brother Patrick Slavin and I were out on visitation. We're knocking a door, and then we're in this new development. We're building houses, and we got out of the car, and we were going to a house in there, and the house, it seems like nobody was in there, and we were like wondering, it seems like, I don't know if people are actually living in there, or it was just someone working in there, or it was just noise, and we were just, let's just knock the door. We knocked on the door. A gentleman came out, and Patrick gave him the gospel, and he received Jesus Christ. And you know what this man was sharing with us later on? That he was saying, I was just praying. I was just terrified about hell. I know there is a hell in heaven, but I wasn't sure where I was going to go. And I was asking God, please show me. And you guys showed up. See, we just got to take it to Jesus. We don't need to make a whole detailed plan on how it's going to go. We waste more time in making plans sometimes than just trusting God and take to Jesus. So we see here the show of a faith. Number two, I see also here the show of unbelief. Verse 21. When Jesus, in verse 20, the Bible says in here, and when he, Jesus, sitting here, saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Seems like there's two different plans going on in here. There's two realities. There's two opposite plans. And in verse 21, the Bible says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? You see, they were trying to make sense of what Jesus said. Jesus, don't forget in here that in verse number 17, the last part of verse number 17, it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But what that has to do with forgiving sins? The idea, the work, the purpose, the plan, the goal was to take this man with a palsy to be healed. But then we see Jesus in here saying, thy sins are forgiven thee. I mean, like, what is going on in here? Asking among themselves, who is, pretty much, they were doubting Jesus. They wouldn't believe what Jesus just said. And in a way, they were right, because they were like, what is going on in here? They were asking, who is this carpenter who has the audacity to forgive sins? That is just the only one that can forgive sins is God. The only one that can forgive sins is God. And they were just trying to make sense of what Jesus said. Society is still trying to make some, by the way, society is still trying to making sense of who God is. Who Jesus is, coming out with all these kind of crazy ideas about the creation of the world, Big Bang, and a big explosion, I mean, evolution, because since they can't explain, Big Bang, by the way, cannot explain the beginning of man, if you will, or how man came to be, so they have to come out with something more crazy. So they came out with the evolution idea in answer to that question, which is pretty crazy. Amen. Evolution, Big Bang Theory, humanism, relativism, and all the isms that you can think of, that's the answer for man. Coming out with all of these crazy ideas about man, about creation, about not even God, because they just deny the existence of God. But again, God's word is asking us, commanding us, just take them to Jesus. I don't need to ask God, what do I do? Where do I go? I already got the answer. So you see, for this man, it was very hard probably to show up in there, pick up this man and trying to get him into the house, and then deal with the multitude, and then deal with no way to get into the house. But it was pretty hard work. It was inconvenience for them to do that. It is inconvenience to get up at 4:30 in the morning, load up a bus, drive 5 or 6 hours to a different location. It's very inconvenient, right? It's inconvenient to get up early in the morning, walk all day. It's pretty inconvenient. Convenience is just take a few minutes for lunch and then go back again, knock some more doors and keep on going and keep on going. Very inconvenient. But you know what? 164 souls. If you ask me, I don't see any inconvenience with that. You see, God will honor the hard work. God will honor when we put our talents, when we put our time, when we put our treasures before his feet, before him. And we see here the show of unbelief, and they saw an opportunity to and to accuse Jesus, and they were reasoning in between among them, and they were asking questions. They were, what is he talking about? Verse number 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he, answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? It's not like Jesus didn't know, right? He was just confronting them. He wanted to find, he wanted just to confess. He wanted them to confess. It's not like Jesus didn't have any clue about what they were talking about. And then we see Jesus in here found the opportunity to show his power. You see, there was no wasted opportunity for Christ to exalt the name of God and to show himself as the Messiah. But yet, they wouldn't listen. But yet, Pharisees and scribes couldn't understand. That didn't stop Jesus. That didn't stop this man. No matter what the world believes, no matter what the world says, ain't no matter to me, I'm just going to keep on going whatever God asked me to do, and that's what I'm doing. And Jesus, we see here, Jesus found the opportunity to show himself to them, to show his power. And we see here that Jesus challenged them with and asked them, you tell me, Pharisees, you tell me, lawyers, you tell me, doctors, what is easier? He challenged them. Since you know all the answers, since you have all the answers, since you are righteous, since you have no sin in your heart, you tell me what is easier. To forgive this man's sins? Or to tell them, get up and go. You see, they were right in a way, the Pharisees and the scribes, when they said in here in verse 21, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Let me put it in perspective. Let's say I offended Brother Patrick Slavin. And then his wife come along later on and he said, Brother Daniel, you know what? I forgive you. I know you offended my husband. I know you you didn't wrong. And I just, you know what? Don't worry about it. I forgive you. It's not how it works. Because the only one who can forgive me is Patrick, not his wife. Because my offense was not against his wife. My offense was against him. Therefore, the only one who can forgive me for that offense is Brother Patrick. Now, Jesus says in here, I forgive you, thy sins are forgiven thee. You know what Jesus was saying in here? John chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. He was showing that he is God and that he has the power not just to heal, but he is God himself. And behold, he has the power to forgive sins. And that's what he does in here. And it says, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk. You tell me, doctors, Pharisees, lawyers. You see, in verse number 20, thy sins are forgiven thee. Everybody was confused. Everybody was wondering, is that really true? Can he really forgive sins? Well, Jesus says right here, verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he say unto the sick palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. There was no way for the Pharisees to see if really, really these men's sins were forgiven. So while Jesus has them in here, he said, all right, so you don't believe me? Watch this. Get up and walk. Amen. And that's the proof that Jesus has the power to forgive sins and that Jesus has the power to heal. There was no way for nobody to really see, are these words really truth? Is he really forgiven sins? Does he really has the power to do such a thing? Well, yes. He showed them. I tell this man, this is the testament. This is the testimony. This is the work. You want to see it? There you go. Get up. Walk. And the Bible says immediately. It wasn't a process. It wasn't that little by little he started. Oh man, I start feeling my muscle. Oh, I can feel my toes. Oh, now I can feel my ear. Oh, my ear scratch. Immediately. Salvation is instantly. At the time of you trust Christ, your personal Savior, you can be sure that you are saved. You see, Jesus showed his power by healing this man and also showed that he is God. All of this man never knew that this faith, that their faith, they never knew that they were about to change not just the life of the man with the palsy, but they were about to change the life of the multitude. They were there. Just because a handful of men believed God and took God as his word. You see, this church, Landmark Baptist Church, didn't happen by a chance. You see, Landmark Baptist College didn't happen by chance. Landmark Christian School didn't happen by chance. Came Glory, 90.3, Gospel 90.3, and we can go through the list. It didn't happen by chance. It happened because Pastor Mickey Carter believed God, took God at his word, and him leading a group of men made it possible. Amen. You see, the promises, the future is just as bright as the promises of God. Now, he didn't pay much attention about the problems, the trials. It didn't come easy. It wasn't given to him. We all heard about the testimonies about Camp Glory, the radio station, the church, the college. But he didn't give up. Amen. He didn't quit. And we are here because a man and a group of men believed God. Amen. And took God at his word. You know, now it's our turn to do just the same. Is your turn and my turn to take God as his word, believe him, and take it to Jesus. It is a blessing to be part of this church. It is a blessing to see what God is doing in this ministry. But this is just the beginning, because God has a plan. The only thing that we got to do is just take it to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. God, I pray that if there is anybody here that is not saved, that you, God, will just, through the Holy Spirit, bring him under conviction. And God, although this man didn't know what was going to happen, although they didn't have a plan, they didn't know anything about what was going to happen, but yet they believe you. And Lord, just help us to have thy spirit, the faith in you, to take it to Jesus, no matter what it is. I just pray, Lord, that you will just continue strengthen Pastor Parsons' hands, his heart, his spirit, and help us all to get behind him in the vision that you have laid in his heart. And Lord, help us to do our part. Help me, Lord, to do my part. With eye closed, nobody looking. The invitation is very simple. If you are here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Let's all stand, and I'm going to have Brother Perkins come up here for the time of invitation.